At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Matt O'Reilly says he's amazed by the positive attitude of Celtic teammate Kyogo. John Lundstrom thinks Todd Cantwell and Nicholas Raskin can keep improving as the season goes on for Rangers. And Lowland League clubs vote to admit Premiership B teams again. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have your Tuesday duo of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, Tuesday night's also about picking the bones out of what happened just a few days earlier, and we had plenty of action to talk about. Great games all across the leagues, topped off by Celtic winning again on Sunday. But the teams will be looking ahead now to the final game before the top six, and that is where the interest lies. Who is going to make the top six? Those final spots still up for grabs.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I think there's still a lot of excitement left in this league, although they all agree that Celtic will go on to be champions. Just when but if you look at this weekend, what important games, top six there, the positions to be won. Then you look at the bottom of the league, big result for Dundee United weekend, lifts him off of there, puts Kilmarnock, Ross County right in trouble. Another manager falls, and we look forward to this week's football.
0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight? Come on down and share it with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, please. If you think you're already previewing this weekend's action, it seems like a bit of a stretch, Gordon DL. That's a bit far off. Maybe you're looking back on some of the big talking points from the weekend. Maybe you've got something entirely different on your mind. 0141 951 1025. Do you know what I was actually thinking we should debate tonight? Why not? Why don't we debate the player of the year? Early suggestions. Because I was talking to our esteemed colleague Fraser Wishart earlier on today about you two, just, you know, kind of bitching behind your back, that sort of thing. And he happened to mention that the votes are going to be getting cast next week. And in fact, the PFA Scotland Player of the Year Award will be given out in under a month's time. So I wonder, maybe we could have a bit of a maybe a bit of a debate on that front to kick us off tonight. That'd be interesting. I always like this time of year when it's appropriate to do it. I mean, when people try and do it in February and March, I get a bit, I think it's a bit early. But the award's going to be handed out in under a month. So why not give us a call tonight for a bit of fun? Give us your four-man shortlist, right? That's your task. There are rules to this challenge. You need to come on, give me a four-man shortlist. You need to pick a winner, and it can't all be players from your own team. Come on, we need to, you need to be spreading the love here. It's not going to be four players from the one club, let's be honest. So come on and give us all your suggestions. 0141 951 1025. Before I get your thoughts, Mark Wilson, I was thinking it'll be a bit of a quieter midweek this week, because this time next week, it's going to be all eyes towards that semi-final. Yeah. And really it's, I mean, it's season defining, mostly for Rangers, you'd have to say, because Celtic have one and a half or one and three quarters pieces of silverware, however you look at it, in the bag. So this midweek a bit quieter, and then it'll be all systems go next week.
It will be. It's such a huge week next week for Celtic and Rangers. But I suppose for the other teams in the league, the, like me and Daz were saying there, the top six positions still up for grabs. That's heated up quite nicely. But the battle for the bottom, I mean, Kilmarnock fans who often call this show, what on earth are they thinking at the minute and looking forward to next week? A couple of weeks ago, they looked the favourites to avoid a drop, and now they probably look the favourites. One result for Dundee United takes them up into 10th. Kilmarnock looking on the way down. So a lot of worry for those. But you're right, come next week, we will be purely focused and what could turn out to be one of the biggest games of the season. So there's a lot of football to get through before then. And interesting you say about the player of the year. I think a lot of the hard work has been done now, so it is a good time to discuss it, because those big three league games between Celtic and Rangers are over. That often picks out one of your top players in there, and everything in between. So yeah, looking forward to this week, even though we've got a big one next week.
Yeah, I just thought that would be a bit of fun, Gordon. Mm. There's not any earth-shattering breaking news today that we need to debate, so I thought it might be a good time for a bit of fun, a good old-fashioned football discussion about who your player of the year is going to be and who are your four nominees, because that's the key. You need to pick four, you need to pick a winner, and it can't all be from the same club. Come on, let's play the game. But it's just the season is boiling up nicely, Gordon. I know that for most people the title race is done, fine. Mm-hmm. But you look at the battle for third, the battle for the top six, the battle at the bottom, managerial vacancies, and we're, you know, middle of April, it is all happening.
Yeah, it's incredible. If you look at, you're talking about managers losing their job, I think only, would I be right in say 4 teams not changed their manager?
Yeah.
Right? 2 managers that have not been changed are sitting bottom, 12th and 11th. You've got 1 sitting top, and obviously Dave Martindale at Livingston.
And some clubs have changed them twice.
Yeah, it's I've never known a season like it for managers. So you know, that's the big talking point. Who's going to be the next manager of clubs? And managers don't get a lot of time now, but it's all about the players. I think that now we've got a fair idea ourselves and the people that are listening to the show that's got to phone in who they think their player of the year is going to be. I like to sometimes look outside. Celtic Rangers always come in for the attention because it's highlighted every week. They're mostly on the TV. It's all about them. But I like to look outside the box and find a little gem, and I think I've found one or two tonight.
Well, listen, I'm not that interested in what these two have to say on this, because he's going to come
much like Terry Wogan there, didn't you?
He's going to come up with something bizarre. But I'm looking for you lot to get involved, because this is always, it's a staple of the Scottish football calendar when we debate who the player of the year should be. And look, we will get back to this, I'm sure, when the official list comes out and all that sort of stuff. But give us your early thoughts. Not even that early, in less than a month's time it will be revealed. So your 4-man shortlist for player of the year, who's your winner? And they can't all be from the same club. I know you Celtic fans will have a list as long as your arm of players that have impressed you, but get your suggestions in. I can see them ticking in on Twitter already, but we need to do it on the phones. So give us a call right now, please. 01419511025. Before we do get stuck into that, is there anything you'd like to get off your chest from the weekend? Is it time to move on? Would you like to revisit anything?
No, I thought it was a very good weekend, a very exciting weekend. Lots of talking points again. I think the big winner at the weekend for me, and you can look throughout the teams, Dundee United, for part, going to go behind as well. The boost it gives them getting off the bottom of the league. And I'm sure Jim Goodwin would have been looking forward to a lovely Saturday night, but I don't think it went all his own way.
By the way, see, just on that game,
did he pay the bill?
What about the penalty incidents in that game? One given, one not given.
Yeah, neither of them should have been given, eh?
I thought both of them were stonewall penalty kicks. And it's just interesting to see when managers are complaining about inconsistencies in this league. And Derek McInnes was right to point out O's challenge compared to Vassell's challenge earlier on in the season. Two of them are the same, two of them are never red cards. But there you have an inconsistency in the same game. Two pretty much the same challenges, one given, one not given. Work that one out.
Listen, he's...
Was that aimed at me and Gordon?
That's just because he was out for dinner with Jim Goodwin on Saturday night, honestly.
He was celebrating in here when United
for the
scored.
Last 10 years he's forgotten that he played for Dundee United. Now he's giving it arms till I die, you know, that stuff in the office.
He was phoning me Saturday night. I'm my goody, I'm my goody.
Unbelievable.
We're having come on United. Started.
Right, anyway, 01419511025. Let's do it, right, because there are so many coming in on Twitter already. I'm still waiting for you on the phone, so do it nice and early, please. Give us a call. Who's on your 4-man shortlist for player of the year? The debate is officially open on here. Mark Wilson, you need to give me your 4.
All right.
You need to tell me who's the winner.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And for you, I'm going to make it even tougher, right? You two, I'm putting extra conditions on you.
Right.
2 Celtic players only, right? Because we know they're the best team in the league. We know they've got a lot of good players. You can't include more than 2 Celtic players on your list.
It's a bit of a blow. I need to take 2 off my list then.
Eeny meeny.
Right, do you want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
I'm quite happy to go first.
Okay, on you go.
I'm not really bored. So you want 4 in the winner?
Correct.
Okay. And
he's going to name 3 Celtic players here and just ignore my rule, isn't he?
In no particular order, I'll go Hatate Celtic.
As opposed to the Hatate Aberdeen.
Yeah. Kyogo Celtic.
Right. This isn't in order, is it? You said
no.
It's very much in order.
Van Veen, Motherwell.
Oh, good shout.
And I'm going to go, because of what he's produced this year, 100 goals, Tavernier, Rangers.
Okay, okay. You've at least stuck to my rules, which is interesting for
you. Do you want
you.
The winner?
Oh, yes. How could I forget?
Right. That's a big build up. Oh. And the winner for Gordondale this year, Player of the Year, goes to Kyogo.
Mark Wilson, I'll get yours in a minute. Let's bring in, is it Neil or Niall? Forgive me. It's Niall. Niall in Belfast. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good, good. How are you?
I'm South Colours, okay. Bear with me.
Well, listen, I'm delighted you took the time to call for the first time. We've hooked you in with our Player of the Year debate, clearly. What's on your four-man shortlist?
Two players. One who's been out injured a lot, but deserves it. Been a great season for him, but he's phenomenal when he's been free from injury.
Kevin Nisbet, interesting shout. Right, what's next?
Runner-up should be Van Dijk. Motherwell, absolutely outstanding season.
Okay.
Then you've got the two favourites, Hatate and Kyogo, of course.
Of course. Now you have to pick one of them, so you're a Celtic fan. Who's had the better season out of Kyogo and Hatate? How could you pick?
You have to go with a goal scorer, don't you? Really, you go with a goal scorer.
Well, as the man who won First Division Player of the Year two seasons in a row for the goals that he scored, Gordon DL.
Yeah, I know exactly how he feels.
Is it the hardest part of the game? You know, as people say, the difference maker. Why is Kyogo the Player of the Year for you?
The reason is, yeah, goal scorers are a favourite of mine, but it's the goals he scored at the right times. Cup final, the Old Firm games.
Okay.
When Celtic needed those big important goals, that's why these players are brought in. Listen, it was a real tight decision because I think Hatate has been sensational, but I just think when Celtic needed those goals, Kyogo was a man, and he's been in terrific form. He's worked right off the ball as well. So by a small margin, I think he deserves it.
Niall, elaborate. How impressed have you been with your main striker this season?
Fantastic, but don't take anything away from Van Dijk. Absolutely brilliant goal scorer this season. He's been phenomenal at Motherwell. Phenomenal.
You won't get me arguing with that, that's for sure. And Niall obviously loves the goal scorers. He's gone Kevin Nisbet, Kevin Van Veen, Kyogo, and he's found a place for someone who creates the goals as well in Hatate.
It's unfair. And us defenders, you strikers always get the limelight, don't you? But Niall's got a good argument for Owen. He puts up a good case, particularly for Van Veen. I think when you were chatting at the weekend about the large percentage of goals that he has scored for Motherwell, a team that was facing relegation but has been pulled away from that, mainly because of the manager and the tactics employed, but you need a goal scorer to back that up, and he's took up the mantle. By the way, second goal on Saturday, I mean, I know it was offside, but what a finish as well, and it shows you the ability the guy's got. So
I like your style. Let's include goals that weren't given.
Aye. And the one at Tynecastle.
Exactly.
Then, you know, those show a glimpse of the guy's ability, show what he's about. Now, I was critical of him early in the season, I think rightly so, because a couple of the games I saw him, I think me and Daz run more than him in this studio than they did that night, and that's when Motherwell were struggling. But I think the new managers gave him, you know, a pull in the right direction, and he certainly should be mentioned in the running. He'll not win it, right enough, but he should be mentioned.
Well,
look at the tux, Kevin, and get yourself there. Have a good night.
You think he's getting the invite, though?
Yeah, well, I think
100% he's getting an invite. I'd be very disappointed.
Really?
Listen, I'll tell you what. As much as, see, if you play with Celtic and Rangers with the players that you're playing, and we're talking there, I've given it to Kyogo, Hatate, you've got McGregor's, you look at Rangers with Tavernier assists and everything. Van Veen hasn't, and I'm not being disrespectful, you're talking about a Motherwell team that was fighting relegation. This guy stepped up with 23, 22 goals or something. Incredible.
19 in the league.
Incredible, yeah. Gordon. That is incredible. See, if you're looking outside the Celtic and Rangers bubble, go straight to Fir Park. That's where it should be.
It's very passionate about it. I mean, Niall's gone, Kyogo and Hatate, Mark. I'm looking on Twitter, they're featuring on lots of lists. Would they feature on yours?
Okay,
who
yeah.
Who would get the nod out of those two?
So my four would be Kyogo, Hatate. I would say Van Veen deserves it because of what he's done, percentage of goals and how he's dragged Motherwell up. I'm going to differ for Daz in the last one and say Duke. I think Duke has been a revelation since he's came to country. Now, he came in for a wee bit of stick because he went down pretty easily in his first couple of weeks. But again, for a team that was struggling, a new manager's come in, gave him a new lease of life, and he scored, what, 18 goals this season, which is a great return for a young player coming to this country. So I think he would be deserving of a shout, and I know that's all attackers, but I would...
You should be ashamed of yourself as a former defender.
Yeah, I would give it to Hatate. I think Hatate has been extraordinary this season, and I'm not saying Kyogo hasn't. He's got the goals, and quite often that gets recognised more. But I think for his all-round game and what he brings to that team, that real driving force, he's got everything, this boy. I think he deserves it. He could be injured at the wrong time though, and that's that sometimes goes against you.
It's not a long-term one though, is it? And like, I think the, you know, votes are about round about next week, I think. So people are not going to have forgotten about Hatate next week, are they?
They will if Kyogo bangs in a couple of hat-tricks or whatever by the time it comes around. And that's sometimes the way it goes. But I think, listen, the two of them are in with a great shout. But for me, preference Hatate.
Who did you always judge it when you played? The guy that gave you the hardest time? Or
the boobs?
Stop it. Stop it.
He'd run out of lead.
Or, you know, just things that you picked up on from watching the games or whatever.
Well, that's pretty much it, because you only see these players, you know, four times a season. Sometimes it would be somebody that stood out against us, but generally it would be...
Did you ever vote for a Rangers player, Mark?
I think I would have. Aye.
No, well, that's easy. Did you ever?
Honest man.
Did you ever?
Did I ever? I probably would have, but I couldn't tell you who. who was decent at the time?
You must know who you voted for.
Are you joking? You can't even remember what
hold
you
on.
Had for breakfast, and you want him to remember. I retired. Who I voted for in 2007.
This question is not pointed at me. It's pointed directly.
Do you want to know who I voted for? How could you ever remember who you voted for?
A Rangers player. You must. What if you voted. Any year, because you wouldn't vote for a Rangers player every year. There must have been one year you went, see, in 2004, I voted for Barry Ferguson, for instance.
I think I voted for Daniel Kuzan. 2009.
But just to be fair, they might not have won it, but in your time, Stephen Davis won player of the year, Fernando Rixon.
By the way, there you go. I think Stephen Davis.
Then it did start getting sort of Celtic dominated, as you would expect.
Stephen Davis. I think I did vote for him.
You just made that idea.
No,
I'll tell you what, you built him right out there, because he knows that the Rangers fans are listening.
I heard you say Davis.
I think the unfair thing about this conversation, Niall, is you end up like shooting players down, which is not really the intention of it. But do you think Kevin Nisbet's been fit enough, available enough to be on a list?
The reason I say this is that Duke has been fantastic at Aberdeen, yeah, but you expect Aberdeen to be up there, yeah? They should be third place of a year. Should be.
Ooh, I think Hearts might have something to say, but I take your point.
Come on. But Motherwell, usually you're looking mid-table, struggling some years, most years. And they've got a player who has kept them up, not only up, but kept them well in position for a European spot.
I must admit, right, I just looked, it's fewer than I thought. And I love the suggestion, Niall. Kevin Nisbet's played 14 league games. However, for what it's worth,
I think we give Niall a joker.
He scored.
He's got 10 and 14.
Yeah.
That's a great return.
That's outstanding. I didn't realise it was so good, but nah.
Nah, but we give.
You need longevity, don't you? You need consistency.
Give Niall a joker.
Availability.
Tell him to rub that one out. Phone back in half an hour.
Thank you, Niall. 01419511025. Twitter is lighting up with these suggestions. But get the phone calls in and we'll speak to you next.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here on the night. We've gone for it. We've gone for one of the staple debates of the Scottish football calendar, in who would be on your four-man shortlist for Player of the Year and who is your winner. Now, the reason we're going to do it now is because I think next week you'll all be getting carried away with semi-final build-up, and actually the shortlist is going to be revealed fairly soon. The award will be given out in less than a month's time. The players will be voting on this next week. So maybe they're listening. Maybe you've got the chance to plant a seed or influence things. So many tweets have come in on this, by the way. Loads. I don't really think anyone... But everyone's either got Kyogo or Hatate, right? For sure. I can't see any lists that don't have that. Some have got both. Some have gone for one or the other. For a while I thought Hatate was on everyone's list, but I can see a few where he's missing. In terms of guys that you've maybe not quite thought of or aren't going to get mentioned as much, you went for Van Veen. Mm-hmm. You went for Duke. I can see a few of them coming in. Duke's very popular, so is Van Veen, to be fair, I must say. John McFarlane throws in Mark O'Hara.
Had him number five spot.
Oh great, this is,
Andy takes it along the night.
That's what everyone wants to be, the fifth best.
Yeah, he's the fifth
player in Scotland.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's good to have. If somebody drops on, in you go.
St Mirren fans, maybe you'll want to come and beat the drum for him. That guy called Draw says, I'm a Rangers fan, but I've gone Jota, Duke, Van Veen and Tillman. So he's managed to find a space on there for Malik Tillman. Young player, perhaps. That's a whole other debate. We'll get into that some other point. Saints fan, no guessing here. He's gone for O'Hara as well. He's put Tillman in though, as a St Mirren fan. Gordon McIntosh wants Tavernier in there.
Greg Taylor getting any mentions?
Yeah. In passing, yep, I would say as well. David Gibson, I'm a Rangers fan. Kyogo, Duke, Van Veen, Tavernier, Duke to win, says David Gibson.
You never know.
Sometimes the votes get diluted, don't
Not
they?
That when he was diving at Ibrox. I bet he wasn't saying Duke to win then, was he?
Do you know what though? No, I'm seeing a good bit of love for Mark O'Hara as well.
By the way, his goal at the weekend was sensational. Even his second goal was a fantastic strike.
Yeah, but over a piece, I think he's been terrific. Captain St Mirren, signed new contract. Just he's finishing very strong, Mark. And a penalty kick taker as well. Yeah, fifth on the list. Well done, Mark.
Fifth on the list. Well done, Mark. I think we can bump him up the list according to some people. Let's bring in Ross on the line and get his thoughts. Give me your four-man shortlist and your winner, Ross. Take it away.
Hi, Gordon, Mark. Gordon, hope you're all well. My list would be Diogo, Hatate, Van Veen and Tavernier. So I think I'm agreeing with Gordon on that one. I think me and Gordon are on the same path.
Yeah. And how does that make you feel just before we move on?
Done, Ross.
Oh, Gordon's an intelligent guy.
Yeah, you know your stuff, mate.
Oh, no. That's made you sound stupider.
Ross, I've heard some nonsense on this show, I must admit.
Keep it coming, Ross.
Right, who's the winner, though, Ross?
I'm a Celtic fan, but I think for me, Van Veen has got to win it, because for a guy to get 19 goals at a club at Motherwell is unbelievable. And I think
you're my favourite. You can come back. I must admit, I did not see this coming. So you're overlooking your own Kyogo and Hatate.
Yeah, I think obviously the old firm, Celtic and Rangers, they obviously both get guys every year, and you would expect Kyogo at a club like Celtic to hit at least 20 goals minimum. But for me, for a guy at Motherwell to get, he's on 19 just now, he might get more than that this season, but for a guy to hit at least nearly 20 goals a season at Motherwell is unbelievable, and I think that for me gets my vote. I think he would deserve to get it.
Well, as if I'm going to argue with that, but I must admit, I don't necessarily expect that. Unless you get, like we said, we'll put it this way, last time it was a claret number winner, Michael Higden.
See where he sneaks it.
I think
me,
that was the season, and I don't want to confuse this, because this is just meant to be a fun debate, right? This is just us for fans. It's just fun. You pick and tell us your reasoning. So I don't want to confuse it, but you know, there might be a scenario where, you know, Hatate gets some and McGregor gets some and Jota gets some and Kyogo gets some. Because sometimes that can happen when you've got a lot of players in the same team that are good.
I've thought this out very carefully, Gordon. The reason I've gave it to Kyogo instead of Van Veen, I totally agree with Ross. I think he's a terrific caller. He's right in what he says about a team in Motherwell down fighting relegation. This guy's led by example, scored the goals. But Kyogo gets it for me because, yes, he's expected to score goals, But it was the big games when he stood. When, you know, you'd think about Rangers and Celtic, you get judged on not scoring against the Kilmarnocks and Hibs and Livingstons and Motherwell. You get judged on the cup finals. You get judged on the Old Firm games. And that's where Kyogo this season has stood up for me and really shown his class. And that's why he just pips Van Veen for me.
See, it's a strange time of year. You've got big Motherwell fan, Gordon Dalziel, trying to tell Ross, the Celtic fan, that Kyogo should be the player of the year, but Ross thinks it's Kevin Van Veen. Odd. There you go. Yeah. Very strange. Ross, who would get your nod out of Kyogo and Hatate? I'm fascinated by this because everyone seems to have both of them, certainly one of them, and seems to be a bit of a split.
Yeah, no, I think obviously if it was out of Kyogo into Hatate, I think for me Kyogo would get an odd. Just again, I agree with Gordon. What Gordon said, he's got goals in a big occasion in the cup finals and stuff, and I think that would probably get an odd for me.
You're still your team Hatate out of the two, Mark
Wilson. But I can totally understand the argument that Ross and Daz is putting up for Kyogo, because, you know, Ross says Kyogo, a striker at Celtic, expected to get 20 plus goals, and he's probably right. When a very decent striker at Celtic, with the amount of chances created, comes along, he should be getting 20. But then Kyogo's elevated that. You know, it's not just about his goals. Was he sitting 29 just now? He'll probably go into the 30s. You would have to think. But it's the overall game, the work rate, the way he plays, smile on his face, that you can see he's a deserving winner, yeah, if it had to be. But I just think Hatate.
Did you see the smile on his face?
Yeah. No, I don't mention smile on his face.
You missed the call last night.
I heard. That just was the harshest call we've ever had.
Just Celtic fan, just Kyogo, unhappy the fact that he was smiling round because he missed the penalty.
He said he didn't have his game face on for the penalty.
Needs to focus
more. He missed the penalty.
Not happy.
He was unprofessional. He said,
not happy at all.
Who phoned you?
Exactly. Ross, I'm always interested in the, because look, there can't be many footballing environments where everything's so polarised, and, you know, sometimes maybe a reluctance to acknowledge rival players, or maybe just genuinely you spend all your season telling everyone how rubbish they are that it doesn't come through. You are a Celtic fan, but you've got Tavernier on your list. I'm interested in that. What's your thinking there?
Yeah, no, I think obviously taking off my Celtic classes, I think you need to recognise that guy's hit, I think it's 101 goals he's hit, and for a right back as well. Just, I think you just need to acknowledge that the guy is a quality player, and I'm not going to open another can of worms, but if I could transfer one player from Celtic to Rangers, Tavernier would be the one that I'd want in Celtic Park.
Yeah, I mean, that's a can of worms for sure. There's no doubt about it. And I detect this conversation's about to get hijacked by Alistair Johnson fans. But well, I always think, Mark, it's, like we said, it's it can fall into a number of categories. Not everyone's like this. Some people, I mean, we're getting loads of Rangers fans on saying like, you can't ignore Duke, you can't ignore Hatate, you can't ignore Kyogo. Tavernier's just such an interesting one because there's always like so much polarised debate. I mean, Twitter's full of it right now. How can you say that when it's all penalties and whatever? But
it's not all penalties, though, is it? And that's the thing.
Not,
I mean, and take away his goals, 17 this season for a right back is phenomenal. Never mind if it's penalties or not, but the amount of free kicks he's scored, but his assists as well. Another one at the weekend after he misses a penalty. So there's no doubt about it. You know, Tavernier is a quality player. When you get the numbers, we always chat about numbers with Tavernier, the numbers that he brings to that Rangers side, a side that's second in the league, of course, then it has to be recognised as well. So yeah, it could be in me a shout. I think a lot of players in the league, when it comes to voting, will recognise that and vote for him as well.
10 of the 17 are penalties this season. A couple of things, I suppose, and You need to score them. You need to be good enough to score them. And actually, 7 goals from open play for right back would actually be not bad as well. But it ends up raising the bar
your
so
hand
much
off for that. When I was playing, I mean, it's incredible. Well, which other right back or full back in the league has came anywhere near that?
His assist must be right up there as well, Gordon. I think he deserves a place in the lineup. I really do. I think that, as you say, 17 goals, you've still got to put the penalty kick in the back of net. But I just think he's a danger every time he steps up there. His assists for centre forwards, he's been brilliant. And for a right back, I think he deserves to be in that.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Ross, Andy, and Craig End. Before you reveal your full list, Andy, have you got a name we've not heard yet? That's what I'm starting to see themes here. Kyogo's getting loads, Hitati's getting loads of love, even Van Veen and Duke. Is there a name we've not mentioned that we should?
Absolutely. Listen, the hardest job in Scottish football wasn't Ange Postecoglou coming in after that horror season. It was Greg Taylor coming in after Kieran Tierney, and that's who's my player of the year. Greg Taylor has been unbelievable this year. Now, look, this is a guy that is not blessed with physicality. He's not blessed with pace, but what he is blessed with is football intelligence. And from that fullback position, he's become not only an outstanding fullback for Celtic, but an outstanding midfielder as well. I mean, we talk about Celtic and how unbelievably good they are this year, breaking all sorts of records, and Greg Taylor is at the absolute base of all of that, just as much as Callum McGregor is. You know, it's unreal how good he is. And listen, that doesn't always come across in all of the stats, but you take Greg Taylor out of this team, you put anybody else in, and you see how hobbled that left wing is, and how hobbled that Celtic team as a whole is. Greg Taylor, along with Callum McGregor, is a coach on the pitch. He absolutely understands how the system works. He knows where everybody needs to be, and he's added that unbelievable quality to put those through passes through passes and quality that Celtic fans, including myself, let's be honest, would not have believed was possible from him when he came in from Kelly. To take over from Kieran Tierney.
I'll tell you what, Andy builds an incredible case. Even if you don't agree, that is a man who's got an opinion and backs it up.
Yeah, and he's right. Yeah, he's right with probably everything he says there. The transformation in him has been tremendous. Andy's right when he says he sort of plays two positions, and think how difficult that is to do. He's defensively at left back. Very rarely do you see people go by him. He's got that down to a T, but it's this inverted role, this midfield role, where he does take up these positions, so hard to pick up, but then he's got the quality to play those through passes. Saw it the weekend. I remember going to see Celtic at Livingston, where he plays such a big role in the first goal that Kyogo scores, but then he scores also in the second half, and he's added goals to his game as well. So he's been absolutely phenomenal this season, and again, he would be hard done by to miss out on the list as well.
Andy mentions, you know, football intelligence, Gordon. You remember sort of, what was it, game one, Tynecastle, if you like. You're just looking at Celtic's fullbacks and going, what are they doing in there? And it becomes a quick learning curve for everyone, for the players involved and for those of us who are just watching. Is it safe to say that sort of, that system, that unique role is suited him down to a T?
100%. The compliment I can give him is when Postecoglou entered the building, I thought Greg Taylor, probably his days were up. I thought they would have went and strengthened the left back position. This new system with Greg Taylor coming in the park, I think he played there as a young player in Midley Park as well. So he knows the position, Gordon. It's not just as easy as saying, listen, when we've got the ball, I want you in the Midley Park for an overload. You've got to get into different positions. He picks out passes. Look, I agree with the caller. I think he makes a great case for him. He's been absolutely brilliant for Celtic in that left-back position. You've seen probably at Ibrox when Greg Taylor got injured early, and the quality of Juranovic coming on there. I know he's not an out-and-out left-back, but he can certainly play there. Mm. I thought that it caused Celtic a bit of problems. So that's how important he is to the team. He's a terrific player.
And don't worry, we're not giving him the dreaded most improved player. Everyone tried to avoid.
You don't want that.
But is it important to almost take in a bit of that backstory? As Andy mentions, you're trying to replace Kieran Tierney. You're probably maybe assuming that Bernabe comes in and is first choice left back. I'm staying away from the phrase most improved. Let's call it versus expectation then.
I'm pretty sure that he would have sat down and thought, maybe my days are numbered here as well. Just what was being brought in ahead of him. Is Laxalt one of the ones, was he brought in ahead of him, or was that run about that same time as well? So he sees them play and he's thinking, well, maybe I'm done for here. So fair play to him. He has adapted his game to fit Ange Postecoglou's system. That's the greatest thing you can say. But then excel at it. You think of big moments in the season. Daz mentioned the Ibrox game, that you see Andy's words, how hobbled that left side looked. But remember at Tynecastle, where the VAR just came in and Greg Taylor comes on to replace Bernabe, and he scores the goal. Huge moment in a season, and that's sometimes things that players remember when they vote for this.
What's the list look like, Andy? Who else is on it?
I think Hugo and Hatate have got to be on it as well, and obviously you've got to pick someone outside of Celtic. I think you can't look far past Duke or Van Veen. I mean, both of them have been incredible. Both of them, actually, no offence, but I think performing in fairly weak teams at the moment. I think Van Veen's goal record and Duke's sort of, he's irrepressible, you know what I mean? He's always got that energy. I think both of them have kept their teams in a much better position than they would otherwise be. But I mean, Kyogo and Hatate, unbelievable. I mean, truly unbelievable players that we're blessed to have in the Scottish Premiership at the moment, and long may it continue, because I think the Celtic team are incredible.
Good shouts, Andy. Good shouts. Can't argue with them. I'm seeing a lot now. Duke, Van Veen, Mark O'Hara. I'm now in the lookout for someone else Miofsky from outside. Miofsky's done enough.
No. Has his same goals as Duke.
No, that's true. He's just shouting out names.
Same goals as Duke. Tell you what, no. Big goals as well. Good finishes.
No, not for me.
Why?
Anyway, keep those calls coming in. 01419511025. Let me tell you about this, though. You think player of the year discussions are exciting?
Cash for Kids Day. Clyde One.
Right, Cash for Kids Day is just over 1 week away. So it's next Thursday, the 27th of April. That's the big day. Get it in the diary. We're all going to try and come together and help children affected by the cost of living crisis. Now, you don't have to actually wait until then to get involved, because we've got an unbelievable competition that you can enter right now. Luckily, Mark Wilson can't win this, and it's the last thing he needs, because I've never known anyone that goes more trips or holidays than this guy. But you can win a 7-night family holiday to Fuerteventura. You fly from Edinburgh Airport on the 5th of August. You'll stay at the Dunas Club Apartments. We're talking white sand beaches, clear waters, all the usual fun of the fair, and it's perfect for the likes of surfing and water sports and all that stuff. It's the perfect week of relaxation and excitement, and it's all thanks to our friends at Barhead Travel, who've donated this holiday. And on top of that, our other friends, we've got loads of friends around here at 101 convenience stores, they've very kindly donated €500 spending money as well. Now, it costs you £3 to enter, and all of that goes to Cash for Kids. I'm struggling to see a downside here, to be honest. So for full details and online entry, head to Clyde1.com/CFKday. Best of luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025. Had a look all day, looking at social media, newspapers, websites, TV channels, and thought it's probably a bit quiet today. No real breaking news. Why don't we have a bit of fun and kick off the Player of the Year season? Because these debates will come round again for sure. But we thought we would kick it off tonight, and my goodness, the response out there has been incredible. Led Belly wants to go Kyogo, Van Veen, O'Hara and Tavernier, in no particular order. So some similar names mentioned. But what I'm enjoying is that there is a range here. And I said we've heard from the other clubs, if you like, outside Glasgow's Big Two. We've heard loads for Van Veen, loads for Duke, a good few now for Mark O'Hara. Yeah. Is that fair? Said it was on the lookout for someone else.
Produced?
Gary Hunter has tweeted, I'm a big Hearts fan, I'd like to add Lauren Shankland. He's the first Hearts player to reach 20 goals in a season since Wee Robbo, and he was called into the Scotland squad.
I think, see where he breached that 20 goals, Easter Road, was it? In the cup. I think he was in the in my shout then. But I think his form after that,
I mean, he's still
hasn't been as
he's still
good.
The third top scorer in the division, yeah. And he's got one fewer than the much praised Kevin Van Veen, albeit everyone's acknowledging that Van Veen's done it in a week or
quite
side.
Often the team you're playing in and the demise of Hearts in recent weeks maybe contributes to people not holding him in the same esteem as a Van Veen, yeah, dragging Motherwell upwards, if that makes
Lauren
sense.
Shankland then, let's see, and he might still burst back into life in the last 2 months of the season. If he had had a quiet first 2 months of the season, then, you know, flipped it round, he would have absolutely been with a shout, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right.
But is it about timing your
run?
Yeah,
I think so. It's always fresh in the memory. So it's better later on the season, especially with the votes coming in, your contract's up. So always make a good run. January up to me.
I know it's a big if, but if we'd had this discussion in February, you could have not only just the total, you could have said, yeah, fine, they lost it, but hat trick against Celtic, a double in an Edinburgh derby, you know, part of a Hearts team that had beaten Aberdeen 5-0 at that point, and all the rest of it, and even scored in Europe, albeit that.
See a small case for Shankland there, just going on that. There was times when he played in that sort of a number 10 role. Played a bit deeper, didn't just play as an out-and-out centre-forward. So the return of goals has been very good. Captain, I think you make a good point. He's been rewarded with a Scotland call-up as well. It's not bad. I'll probably put him down there, number six.
That's right. You've got some shortlist. Yeah.
I think we should revamp if Fraser's
listening. Has Fraser Wishart been on the phone yet to ask you for your advice on the format? Do you think we should? Do you think we should up it to six? Eight? 16,
I think what, right? I think, and then the votes come out, good. Right? So you get a vote. So I'm in the player of the year running, and I've got 2 weeks to go and canvas votes. I've got you know, get the big tour bus, right? Get an advert on the telly, vote for me. And that's the way we should run it, the top eight. It's like the Eurovision Song Contest,
American teenage rom com.
Then they have to do a speech on the night, like Miss World, where they come on and say, vote for me.
The reason
put them
why,
under a bit of pressure.
Why
am
I going
for
to
it?
Vote for you? Because I'm a good player, I've been a goal scorer.
That's it, hi.
Oh, yeah, Mark, I
a
think
personal
you're on
statement.
I think you're
Fraser,
on
if you're listening, yeah. Me and Daz can put that that's together a, for you.
They'll cut that.
Wow.
That's very exciting in four. Is it? Oh,
we'll
just
introduce
four turning
tonight.
Up.
We'll introduce tonight.
I don't think they're that desperate. Raymond is in Alexandria. Who's on your list, Raymond?
I'm going to put a spanner in the works on my list. Right, it starts off with Joe Hart. Right?
Is that
Callum McGregor?
Okay.
Callum McGregor. Right. Conor Goldson and Van Veen. The reason for Joe Hart, he's my main man. I think a lot of people are going for like goal scorers. I think it's just as important to defend goals.
So, yeah, I was going to ask him who was the spanner, and then I realised that might be a bit unfair with the answer. His left field shout, let's stick to that, was Joe Hart. By the way, I said the unfair nature of this is you end up shooting players down. Joe Hart's had a perfectly good season. He's been good enough to be in there.
I'm not going to shoot Joe Hart down. I think he's been a terrific signing for Celtic, and he has made some crucial saves at crucial times. But the reality is, Raymond, that Joe Hart probably doesn't get tested enough overall through a season to merit winning player of the year. Yes, he has pulled off some important saves, but there are players who have stood out on more occasions than Joe Hart, in my opinion.
Gordon, you hate goalies generally,
yeah,
don't you?
So. I feel honesty is the only way forward for Raymond tonight. No, I'm not having Joe Hart at all. I'm not criticising him. I think Mark makes the perfect reasons. And that's all down to Celtic and the way they play and defensively as well. Conor Goldson was a bit of a strange one. I'd never thought of him. McGregor, I think McGregor will be in some people's minds to vote because he's been, you know, just the same Callum McGregor week in, week out.
How have we got to 5-7 with so few mentions of someone like Callum McGregor? Is it just because it's expected? Is it just because it... You know, did you see that clip of Kyle Vassell from Kilmarnock today? And he was just asked generally about how tough Celtic are to play against and that sort of thing. He's not asked to name names. And he just says, Callum McGregor is so good at football.
Yeah,
and
he
can elaborates on...
that's one of his only mistakes this season.
You know, and then he kind of goes on to elaborate as to why. How have we made it to 5-7? So few mentions of him, yet he is the one that makes Celtic tick.
Well, the problem that Callum McGregor's got from a personal point of view is that he just plays well every single week. So people just expect that that's him. And it would probably take him to score a couple of hat-tricks a season for him to then be the out-and-out standout nominee. But... He should be in there. He is terrific. He's a driving force of a team who are
unstoppable. What do you mean he should be in there? You had the chance to put him in your list.
So,
he didn't bother.
I know, so I'm guilty. Is everybody
number five.
Else?
Number five.
He's five on the list. Right. He's my number five on the list.
I was looking, you know, like I know a bit confusing at this time of year. There are you know, football writers awards and so on. In terms of the players' player, goalies is not really the done thing. Unless I'm missing something, you're going all the way back to Andy Gorham, 92-93, which was a good period because late 80s Theo Snelders won it as well. But unless I'm missing something, no goalies since then. In the main one, I think the young player might be different. Would Joe Hart, and again, even in the big games, Raymond, the Rangers games, Celtic have been generally pretty dominant. For a Celtic goalie, or for the best team in the league's goalie to be it, would they not need to have made some huge moments in at least the big games to sort of compensate for the fact that he's so untested in some of the others?
Right. But do you know, think, see, at the start, when he came to Celtic, he came in from nowhere. Well, I think he's proved a lot of people, you know, a lot of people were saying he passed it. He done it down the Premiership, right, fair dues, right. But he came in from nowhere. And a lot of people say, oh, he's finished. I think he's proved a valid point. I'm telling you, he's partly finished.
Yeah, again, Mark, it just feels like that's maybe two slightly different discussions.
Because I would agree with Raymond. When Joe Hart signed, I did think, is this going to be a mistake? It was at a time that Celtic needed to get the goalkeeping position right after so much had went wrong beforehand, and he's proved me wrong. Is it enough this season to be player of the year? Still no, in my opinion, because I'm pretty sure if he was tested on a more regular basis, then he probably would be in the running. But Celtic, the players in front of him are too good that they very rarely let anyone through to him.
Thank you, Raymond. I did say I'm always on the lookout for new names. Alan Cassidy wants to give Ryan Strain of St Mirren a mention, so it's not all about Mark O'Hara there. Colin is a Rangers fan. I think Carter Vickers, Kyogo, Van Veen and Tillman. Lots and lots coming in on Twitter as well, and we're already running late for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. Good start to the week last night. We got a victory for the listeners on the tiebreaker. Kenny Miller, it wasn't like
him.
Oh,
I did hear it.
He was diving in on a couple of the questions, taken to the tiebreaker.
What a question the tiebreaker was.
Brutal, wasn't
wow.
it? Brutal, I must admit. But anyway, it's your chance to make it even worse for the pundits, and please do. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. It's 01419511025. We just decided for a bit of fun we'd have a player of the year debate tonight. And to start getting the ball rolling, it's that time of season. Who would be the four men on the shortlist for you? And what a response there's been. I'm going to get, you know, on Twitter there is obviously the function to vote, and then it's obvious it's like a percentage, a poll. But we were just taking all sorts of names, so we didn't want to limit it to X amount, so I'm just going to make producer Chris count them all up. Just going to see who's tweeted. There must be about 1,000 names on there.
He's like somebody
he's
in prison counting the days off. Chris, with the tally marks, he's just showed us.
We'll see who's in the lead on our unofficial. But the good thing is, when the shortlist comes out, we can just put the old poll up.
Listen, keep voting, please. Uh-huh. Keep firing all sorts of names so Chris has to keep tally marking that.
I'll tell you what, I didn't expect shouts for Bevis McGabby.
He gets one for Bevis.
No offence, yeah. Bevis. You know,
big Argentinian.
Right, anyway, we'll get back to that. There are other things out there today. I just thought it wasn't that busy on the news front and we could have some fun. But if you've got thoughts, here's maybe one that you could get your teeth into, because the Colt teams have been voted back into the Lowland League third season now. I wonder what you make of that. Is it working? Do you go along, in fact? An eyewitness account would be nice. Celtic fans, Rangers fans, Hearts fans, do you go along? Does it work? Maybe you're a fan of another Lowland League team. Do you think it works? Are they a welcome addition? crowd, that sort of stuff. What do you make of that? Maybe that's one we can squeeze in before the end of the show as well. But let's do this first. Am I keeping you awake there? Sorry.
Well disguised.
See if you're going to be rude enough to yawn. Could you not do it right down the mic?
I don't like to say it, but you were boring the life out of me.
Honestly, I actually thought about you at the weekend.
Did you?
That's
very nice.
You've offended me, so I'm going to use this opportunity to slag you. I was out in a popular Italian restaurant in the Partick area. Others are available. It's the one we went to for your 60th, but you'll never remember that.
Oh,
night.
Yeah, I've had a few.
And I saw a great celeb spot. Kevin Bridges was in. Oh. I mean, the ultimate, right? And yeah. I couldn't stop laughing because all that kept coming back to me, none of the great jokes or gags that he's produced in the past, it's the fact that you asked him for a selfie and he knocked you back at the same selfie spot.
Do you know something? Absolutely not a chance in
anyway.
If you love it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Enough of that. This is serious business. Game faces on, as last night's caller would demand of Kyogo. Greg is in East Kilbride. How's it going, Greg?
Not too bad, yourself, Gordon?
Good, thank you. Is this a debut on Beat the Pundit?
Yes, it is indeed.
Good. I like that. Right, heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it is Gordon Dalziel. And it is. It's Kevin Bridges' best pal himself, Gordon Dalziel. How's your form recently?
Absolutely brilliant up until Thursday.
Did you lose on Thursday?
But I'm worried, right?
I honestly can't remember that.
I'll tell you why I'm worried.
What was the...
It was a tie break. And...
Oh, the boy got it on the nose, did they not?
Got it on.
Ah, I did.
Leave noses out. And this man in the booth here, his questions are ridiculous. So I'm a bit concerned tonight.
Mixed bag tonight. Anyway, right, I'll give you some greatest hits radio to listen to so you can't hear Greg's attempts. Greg, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No bother.
Right, 30 seconds starting now. Name any player that's played for Celtic this season but has not been capped at international level.
Abada.
Who has been Rangers' top scorer in all competitions in the previous two seasons?
Tavernier.
What team did Dundee beat in the playoffs to earn promotion to the Premiership?
Alwanakis.
Who, name any SPFL side that's played home games at Ochil View this season?
Morton.
Who spent longer in charge this season, Liam Fox or Stevie Hamill?
Liam Fox.
Okay, let's bring Gordon Dalziel back. You ready? Yeah, they actually are quite tough.
I guarantee. Probably not even the football
they are,
ones.
They are tough. They're tough. Right, you ready?
Right, go.
Name any player that's played for Celtic this season but has not been capped at international level.
Pass.
Who's been Rangers' top scorer in all competitions in the previous two seasons?
Morelos.
Which team did Dundee beat in the playoffs to earn promotion to the Premiership?
Pass.
Name any SPFL side that's played home games at Ochil View this season.
Queen's Park.
Who spent longer in charge this season, Liam Fox or Stevie Hamill?
Liam Fox.
Kevin Nisbet joined Hibs from which other SPFL side?
Kevin Nisbet joined Hibs from...
Don't buy your time here. Come on, hurry up.
From SPF.
Hurry up.
But I don't know. Can't
time
remember.
Up. Time up. Time up. That was hopeless. Greg, what do you think?
It's a really tough one. Really tough one.
They were tough.
Dunfermline. Oh, gee, guess that question again.
They were tough, weren't they?
No, I thought they were quite easy.
Name any player. This, you've actually got 9 to choose from, ridiculously. But any player that's played for Celtic this season but never been capped international level. You went for Abada, Greg, who has actually been capped. But the likes of Matt O'Reilly, Jota, because he's Portuguese.
Oh, it's okay when you know the result.
Moritz Jens.
Look at Big
Wilson. Players.
Doesn't matter. Did Greg get it?
No, he did not.
Greg, unlucky. I was like you.
He at least gave me a name. He didn't pass.
Oh.
James Tavernier has been Rangers' top scorer in the last two seasons.
Oh, hold on a minute here.
You're in bother.
I'm in big bother.
Greg got that. 1-0, Greg. Dundee beat Kilmarnock the last time they won promotion via the playoffs.
Greg's not getting that.
Greg did not get that. Greg thought Morton played at Ochil View, which is disappointing. Stenhouse Muir or Queen's Park, you've equalised.
No, I'm beat here. I'm 2-1 defeated.
You both went Liam Fox, so you're in trouble either way.
How's one each? So I'm not in trouble.
Well, you were both wrong. It's Stevie Hamill. So we're still level.
Should have got
1-1.
He didn't get Nisbet. Tell me, never get
Nisbet. Nah, he didn't even get that far.
Right, so it's a tiebreaker.
Is it a 1-1? Yeah.
That was a ridiculous game. Good game. End to end. You pass, I pass. You pass, I pass.
Right.
That's the way it went there.
Here's your tiebreaker. This
right, Greg, come on.
Well.
I'm no very good at these.
Ready. From the first round to the final, how many games were played in last season's Scottish Cup? Oh, come on.
Why?
I think they need to be a bit more easy to understand.
From the first round to what?
The final. So then the entirety of last season's Scottish Cup, how many games were played? Just write it down, please, Gordon. Show me your answer. What?
What have you wrote?
Greg?
92.
Greg's gone 92.
Well, he's won.
Gordon's gone 64. The answer is 115. Well done, Greg and East Kilbride. The sign ball is on its way, and it's two defeats in a row.
I can't stand him.
Who? Greg?
How stupid a question is that?
Anyway, it's not about you. Well done, Greg. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Good man, Greg. You're
done, Greg. Right.
You're having a mare at the moment on these.
Only because you're him.
To be fair, James Tavernier.
Why is that a stupid question?
It is. Think about it. Why? Think about the questions as well, right? He's actually running out of things to write down.
Hold on. James Tavernier is a perfectly reasonable question.
Not.
You should have got that.
You
right.
should have got that. That was easy.
So.
Aye.
I thought Kevin Nisbet was a disgrace because.
Why?
Because I got it, right? In the back of my mind, I'm saying Dunfermline.
Listen, if there's a place no one wants to go, it's the back of your mind, right?
That's so two defeats in a row for me.
That's not somewhere I want to frequent on a Tuesday or any other night of the
feel,
week.
I feel that,
for that matter.
I'm falling apart, it seems, here.
Poor showing from you this season.
I had a great run, I was brilliant, and then I've just went boom, boom.
Roger Hanna says you had more passes there than in 10 years of Raith Rovers.
Okay, sniper's dream. Shut up, geese piece. You better be ducked behind a bush.
Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Oh, honestly, chaos in here. Here's one, right? Speaking of votes, right? You know, we're talking about player of the year tonight, having a bit of fun with that. There is another vote, right? And we want your help on this. Even if you don't really like Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, me, or anyone else involved, I still think that you could just imagine the scene here, right? Because we could arrange it for Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL, tie round the head. They could go up on stage at a glitzy awards bash in London. It's pretty soon. And Clyde One Super Scoreboard actually got nominated, see, part of the shortlist, for Radio Times Moment of the Year. Now, it was part of the... It's got nothing to do with us three, by the way. We don't even speak in this, right? It was to do with some of the production. It was to do with the opener. Remember the night we played Ukraine before it all went wrong? Yeah. And a very sort of emotional, powerful opening to the show.
O flower of Scotland, we're glad to see your likes again.
You're right, remember it. It was great. It was a powerful moment. Maybe you've forgotten because the game was, you know, the less said about that, the better. And you can listen on Twitter, but up against some big hitters of the radio industry.
Who are we up against?
Oh, all sorts, honestly.
Leave out the who.
So we've tweeted the link there on Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you just click it and just give us a wee vote. And I'll arrange for Gordon DL to disgrace himself at the awards if we win it. That's the promise I make to you.
Imagine you cutting about at those awards in London.
What do you mean by that?
I know, you've disgraced himself,
wouldn't it? Think of the bother we went through with a suit that you wanted to wear at a wedding.
So all you need to do is just click that link on Twitter and stick a vote down. We'll be eternally grateful. The votes do close tonight. So absolutely.
Oh, come on, vote.
Close tonight, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Pick up your phones and vote.
0141 951 1025. All sorts going on here in these discussions for player of the year. I'm not saying I'm getting bored, but I'm on the lookout for names I've not heard yet, and particularly from outside Glasgow's big two. But Peter's gone, Keanu Backus of St Mirren. So St Mirren are getting a lot of love. It certainly seems on there. Let's bring in Craig, who's on the line. Any names that we've not had yet, Craig?
Yes, I think so. For me, Trevor Carson of St Mirren. I think, I know it's never popular because goalkeepers are you know, they don't tend to, I think, get as much credit as outfield players. But for me, you know, I think the only keeper that's kept more clean sheets than Trevor Carson this season is Joe Hart. You know, I think it's a 10 clean sheets. I think at a club like St Mirren, I just think that's awfully impressive. And when you see some of the performances he's actually put in, some of the saves he's made in games, whether it's, you know, obviously I've watched them when they beat Celtic, I've watched them when they've played us, I've watched plenty of highlights of them, and to me he looks that he's as good now as I think he was when he was at Motherwell his first time round, when he had a terrific spell there. And I just think I definitely think he's worth putting in the mix if you were going to have a goalkeeper there, because unlike Joe Hart, who maybe doesn't face a lot of chances coming his way, Trevor Carson absolutely will. So I think to get 10 clean sheets in that backdrop, I do think it's impressive.
I don't mind that at all. I like that. It's a good suggestion, and it tells you how good a season St Mirren have had, because we've now had maybe four or five names really from St Mirren. And without being unfair on the others, you know there are teams in there that you couldn't pick a standout in terms of a league context. Mostly the teams down at the bottom. In fact, who would be the lowest ranked player that's been mentioned? It would be Van Veen, wouldn't it? It certainly would be. Motherwell sitting in eighth at the moment. What about the rest, Craig? I mean, you're obviously a Rangers fan, so who's Rangers player of the year? Does anyone make it on that list, and would they grudgingly be superseded by either of Celtic's main mentions so far?
Yes and yes. I think for me, Tavernier would be my pick for Rangers player of the year personally. I think that the consistency levels he's shown as a captain, even in a season that's been, you know, tumultuous at times, we've had a managerial change, things haven't gone as well as they could have done in the park, Tavernier's been a constant through that. And obviously you can't deny, you know, 17 goals this season, 101 goals from the right back position, is phenomenal achievements. And it just feels like every season he's picking up more and more achievements. Last year it was getting the Golden Boot in the Europa League, which is extraordinary for a Rangers right back. This season obviously he's breaking into the 100 club, and some of the performances he's put in, you know, I think even when we've been playing poorly, very seldom has James Tavernier, you know, been one of the players that you look at and think, oh, he's had a dreadful game. You know, more often than not, he's still putting in the effort and trying to everybody going, and I like that he's shown proper Rangers captain for me this season and the last couple, so he would be in there. But of course, even though I'm a Rangers fan, it's hard to deny that I think probably Kyogo would be the main one for me, I think, who deserves it, because he's unbelievable to it. And even if you think he's picking up an awk or whatever, he bounces straight back, much to my chagrin. He's always playing the next week anyway. He can go after a broken shoulder, but he's fine the next week and scores two goals usually. So, you know, it's just, he's got something about him that's quite infectious and shows that the qualities that we need in our strikers as well, to be fair.
Yeah, fair play, giving Kyogo big praise there. I mean, on James Tavernier, Gordon, look, second place in Glasgow is a tough environment. You get the perception of disaster. I mean, Rangers League season will end up being fine. That the points total is going to be good. Obviously, nowhere near as good as Celtic's, and that changes everything. And I'm not sure there are loads of Rangers players that you could really introduce to this debate, but you felt he would be one of them.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think there's a lot of Rangers players you could look at and make a case for.
Any others?
Not for me. I'd like to hear the suggestions. I think Craig...
Would Tillman need to be in young player category?
Yeah, but Tillman's sort of bounced on the scene late in the season, but when it's up against, as I say, the reason I gave Kyogo, when the big games come around, Kyogo stood up and produced the goods. Tillman's not at that stage yet for me. Terrific young player, terrific talent. I think next year probably see the best of him. Strange one, that Carson. I don't see a lot of Trevor Carson, but for 10
he's
clean
been
sheets,
yeah, he's been really good.
You've got to give credit, especially for a team outside the big two.
Terrific penalty save at the weekend, irrespective of what you say. Yeah. I actually, see when I watched it back, on Saturday night. I wanted to phone you and argue with you again about it. Ludicrous how you tried to take credit away from Gordon,
but I still believe it was a poor penalty. From Tavernier, who I'm just bumming up as we speak. You've led me into that one. But I think Tavernier has had a good season. I really do. I think he comes in for unfair criticism from some section of the supporters. His assists, his goals, free kicks, everything about him. He goes up and down that pitch. I think his work rate questioned a bit sometimes in his defending. Everybody does. Every fullback, everybody defender does. But I think Tavernier's been excellent for Rangers. I really do.
Thank you to Craig. Quickly, Mark, on this one. Frank says, can't believe no one's mentioned. Finish that sentence for me. What do you think? What is it unbelievable that we've not mentioned? I'm not sure it is unbelievable, but Frank thinks it is.
Carter Vickers?
No. Although a few mentions for him, actually, a few tweets. Maeda, he says, plays a number of positions, gives fullbacks a terrible time. Ask Mark how he'd feel against them. Well, that's not what qualifies you for player of the year.
So. I don't think that would get you far, but nah, Maeda, two up and down. You know, although
Influential, maybe, would you say? Yeah, does
a good job for the team, both going forward and back the pitch, but nah, too many times, unpredictable, not got the final outcome that Hitati and Kyogo does. That's what elevates him far beyond Maeda for me.
Okay, we'll do some unofficial results. Do you want that? We'll do some unofficial results for this.
Is that the time the shoulder of the producer?
He's been away crunching numbers. And this is just based on the names that have been tweeted and mentioned to us on the show. Right, I'll give you the unofficial answers next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel, and hundreds of you have been taking part in a debate about who will be on the four-man shortlist for Player of the Year. Are you thinking, why tonight? Well, why not? We figured it's next week that the Premiership players start voting, and in under 1 month they'll actually give out the award. So I thought it'd be nice to start award season off and see what we can come up with. So many tweets coming in. I mean, I'm now really just scrolling quickly to see names that we've not mentioned that deserve a mention. Kenneth wants Alistair Johnson, but again, a January signing.
Nah.
Is it just too late? As good as he's been. What else did we have? I think Sandra wanted Carter Vickers mentioned, I think. Yeah, it just seems to be the same sort of names, but who's got the most? That would be the question. Producer Chris has been tirelessly trawling through all your tweets and just old school tally marks, counting them up. And the list, one of you two has got it bang on. One of you two speaks for the people.
Yeah, me.
Out there.
Only one winner here. Look over this way.
Think so?
Yeah, Tails.
According to our list, in fourth place, so on the list, but fourth place will be Duke.
Oh no, I never had him.
Do you know what, actually, not to question producer Chris's arithmetic,
he's miscounted.
But no, I think he could be bang on drawing with, we've got a tie.
With who?
Kevin Van Veen.
Right, okay, I'm happy with that. Mark's happy because he's Duke and I'm Kevin Van Veen.
In your second place.
How's second? We'll go to third. Oh, they have two, sorry.
Reo Hitati.
Yes.
And your winner is Kyogo.
Yeah, I know my stuff, boy. So
what do you mean?
Well, you didn't know your top four. Did you?
Oh, sure I did.
Is him this one?
No, I had Kyogo. Top.
But no, about getting the four.
He got all four right, was the point I'm trying to make.
I'm a man of the people.
Did you?
He got all four
listened.
Of them.
Yeah.
So there you are,
I want him to recount that.
You heard it here first. Don't waste your time with Fraser Wishart's glitzy bash. Although thanks for the invite, I'll definitely be there. Kyogo, Hitati, Van Veen and Duke. There we go. According to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard listeners.
I'm not too sure.
Do you know what would be interesting? We'll revisit this next week. It'll be entirely different. But
keep this piece of paper. See if we're close.
But the lines aren't closed.
Yeah, that's the annoying thing. I'm still getting tweets in, but here we go. I mean, Martin's now the second person to throw Maeda. I'm still getting tweets, but there we are. When we unofficially close the votes, Kyogo, then Hitati, then Van Veen, then Duke. And Mark O'Hara, you were right, he's fourth on the list.
There you go.
Carter Vickers, McGregor. You need to go down a bit to find Tavernier, who's the top polling Rangers player. And
Who else is on there?
Somebody's been at it because Andy Halliday got a couple of votes. So I don't know if he's his family involved.
Have his new hair. Have his best new hair.
His hairdresser.
The hair clinic.
Aye. For the furthest travel for a new wig.
There we go.
He's so got that player.
Honourable mentions to Mark O'Hara, for instance, Carter Vickers, McGregor, Greg Taylor, Shankland. But nah, there's your top four. Duke
Curtis
Van Veen, Hitati and Kyogo.
Am I seeing Curtis Meehan in that list?
He's been good. He's below Andy Halliday on our votes. Don't know how that happened anyway. Right, 01419511025. We could probably do that for about 6 hours in terms of calls, but we've probably kicked the backside out of all the names so far. And look, we will get back to this, there's no doubt, because we'll have to argue about the list when it comes out and then the award itself when it's handed out. So we will get back to it. But I do want to give some attention, some deserved attention, to some of the other stories that are doing the rounds today. And one that has piqued a bit of interest on social media is that clubs in the Lowland League have voted to admit Premiership B teams for the third season running. It's following a so-called review of the football pyramid by the Scottish FA. Now, bearing in mind, this also against the backdrop of proposals for a permanent fifth tier Conference League to accommodate these Colts sides. This is still sort of going on in the background. You'll remember the backstory here. Celtic and Rangers, B teams, Colt teams, whatever you want to call them, went into the Lowland League in the 21-22 season. They paid money and it was meant to be just one season. But then the next season came along and Hearts joined them. And now that's going to continue again into next season. So I wonder if you've got any thoughts. Firstly, how do you feel about that? Do you think it, if you're a fan of Celtic and Rangers or Hearts, does it work? Do you think it's beneficial? If you're a fan of another Lowland League team, maybe you'll want to tell us how you feel about it. Do you want them in your league? Have you been to games? Does it add something? Would you prefer they weren't there? Get all your thoughts over to us on Twitter or even phones if you've got the time. We've still got a bit left. What I did want to do though is catch up with an expert on it, because let's be honest, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are not experts on much. You guys stick to the big time, you know. I mean, you cast a glance.
Big league.
I was flirting in my managerial career with the Lowland League in the Highland League.
Yeah, you certainly got there quicker than you thought.
Let's bring in Chris, who's on the line now. Chris, you can also hear Chris on the official catch-up podcast. These guys dedicate a lot of time to looking at the lower leagues and so on. Chris, thank you for joining us. How's it going?
Brian, mate, thanks for having me, Gordon, and hello to the other guys as well.
Pleasure. Just sort of very generally, while this dumpling in the corner annoys us with his mic, what's your sort of overall reaction to that news then, that these Premiership B teams are in the Lowland League for the third season running?
Honest reaction, not surprising that they were voted in again, because I believe the, obviously you mentioned the Conference League there, the SFA were going to be pushing the Conference League for next season if they weren't voted in again, I believe. So it made complete sense for me that the B teams were voted in again, despite the obviously the divisiveness of it all. But yeah, it's not surprising it's voted yes, because of the idea of the Conference League flown about.
Right, so this is what's seen as like a middle ground until such times as this Conference League scenario is ironed out.
Yes, that's the way I see it anyway. Obviously, you know, it's probably the lesser of two evils if you're against B teams. So, you know, it's been such a divisive topic, Gordon. A lot of fans have been obviously unhappy with the inclusion of B teams, but you know, I think they would have been in either way. By the sounds of it, obviously, I've seen obviously things I probably shouldn't have seen in terms of SFA presentations, and they've been certainly pushing for B teams to be a part of the league pyramid for years. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the vote wasn't unanimous. I think one club in particular I saw go public, East Stirlingshire, saying, you know, that they voted no. They used some strong words about wanting a foundation built on integrity, support and sustainability, which all sounds admirable. They feel that some of this stuff's being forced on them. It's not in the best interest of Scottish football and that sort of stuff. Why is this so divisive?
Well, if we're being honest, obviously, I think most of it is because it's Rangers and Celtic having B teams in there initially. And obviously, not everyone likes Rangers and Celtic. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that obviously the Reserve League, whatever happened with that, you know, it disappeared. And then Rangers and Celtic were obviously pushing to have a competitive stage. I think before they were playing sort of high youths of England and internationals, I think AC Milan and all this sort of thing. So Yeah, it's a difficult one. I guess I think fundamentally some people are just against the inclusion of B teams because we have so many ambitious clubs, you know, from the tiers below. Obviously, you think of maybe Linlithgow Rose, Auchinleck, like Talbot, Clydebank, these sort of clubs that want to be in a, you know, back into the SPFL into the SPFL. So, you know, it's taken a lot of people see as B teams being on part of the pyramid, taking opportunity away from clubs, obviously, below the, you know, the Highland, Lowland League.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously a lot of clubs did vote for this. There is a level of support there. You'll have your finger on the pulse, maybe speaking to representatives from various clubs that already in the Lowland League, maybe fans as well. Do the other teams, do they like it? Do they actively enjoy it? Or is it just something that they, you know, they voted? There was obviously financial incentives in the past as well. What sort of general feeling do you get from other clubs?
It's probably a bit mixed. I mean, there's some clubs, I think, that, you know, at first, obviously, the first season, it made no difference with the B teams in it because it was only going to be a one-year deal. And it was maybe, you know, I guess the hope was that Rangers and Celtic fans would turn up to the B team games and it would show a wee bit of, you know, an increase in attendances, I guess. And it's not always happened because, for whatever reason, B teams have been playing the same days as the senior sides, which obviously I don't understand. But I think it's mixed. I mean, if you ask the players at the level, I think they don't really enjoy it too much. Obviously, I mean, you know, men versus youths or whatever, and albeit the results essentially don't matter in terms of promotion because obviously the B teams can't get promotion. It would look rather embarrassing if, say, a Celtic or a Rangers B won the Lowland League, and then the Lowland League would then have to nominate a champion club to the SPFL or the pyramid playoff. But yeah, it's so mixed, Gordon. It's unreal on that issue, and I think that's why it's divisive. Obviously, because fans are obviously in uproar about having B teams, including what was seen as a progressive league. And I think that takes away, obviously. But I do think a lot of it comes down to the fact that, you know, obviously people don't like Rangers and Celtic.
And you mentioned that scenario. It wasn't far off this season, was it? I mean, current table, Celtic are second and Rangers are third and Spartans have won the league, and well done to them. I think Rangers still got a couple of games in hand over Celtic, don't they? So it wasn't a million miles off that they did sort of finish top, albeit wouldn't be able to be promoted.
Yeah, I mean, if Spartans didn't win the league, and obviously it had been Rangers, Celtic, I don't think it would look great on the league. Fair enough, they have that option to nominate a champion, but I mean, if you're the Highland League team that have won your league or the bottom league two side, of course you're going to be like, why are, you know, potentially we have to play this side that didn't even win their own league? What it boils down to, obviously, so...
Yeah, I mean, Mark, maybe it's still too early because ultimately this does get sold as being good for Scottish football as well, generally. I mean, that takes in a lot of things. Is it working? Is it too early? We don't see loads of Celtic and Rangers youth players getting into the first team. That doesn't necessarily mean that this isn't, that, you know, this is the sole blame of that. There might be other reasons, but how do you view the idea and how it's coming along?
Yeah, mixed feelings out, because I do think for the Celtic players, the Rangers players, the Hearts players, and any other B side that joins, I do think there's merit in it in terms of a real match day experience and a real competitive league against teams who can maybe bring in one or two players who've played, you know, at top level of football. So it's competitive. I feel for the teams that Chris has mentioned, though, who have strived to break into this pyramid system and have maybe suffered at Rangers and Celtic paying money to get in. So I can see both sides of that. But I was never convinced it was only going to be for 1 year. What's the point of it being for 1 year? Surely everybody must have saw that if they could get through the season and there wasn't many complaints, that this was going to continue. And if not continue, it was going to then broaden to how long is it going to be before we see a Hibs team in there? Would Aberdeen then throw their team? And as well, I can see the argument for that as well.
Well, this is the potential future, isn't it, with the Conference League or whatever.
But Chris is then saying it would be a problem if if one of the other teams didn't win, they didn't. So let's not create a problem. It didn't happen. Spartans have won the league. They've shown it's a competitive league. Very close, but they've still won it. So let's not create a problem that hasn't happened.
I mean, Gordon, should you judge it, you know, based on how many of these players are getting in Celtic and Rangers first team? I mean, is that a fair way? Was it Michael Beale? I think it must have been spoke about, you know, these Rangers players, they get a tougher test in training than they do playing the games. Is that right? There was comments along those lines.
Yeah, but then you've got to weigh up, is it better than Rangers and Celtic coming out there and playing in their own league against Motherwells and whatever? I think when you're playing the Lowland League, I think Mark makes a good point, because I've seen a bit of the Lowland League. There's a lot of good experienced players in there, and you get into learn. You're talking about Hearts. Hearts are 13th or something. So obviously they found it difficult.
No, I agree with that, but I'm talking about just generally. Is it preparing players for life in the first team itself?
Vata came on at the weekend. Did Summers come on as well?
There's a few in the bench at Rangers at the weekend.
There you go. I mean, there's never going to be six or seven in a season come through at Celtic or Rangers, because it's just never happened ever. It's always drip fed. I have complained in the past that although everything's going great guns at Celtic, that the youth system over the last couple of years hasn't been perfect. There hasn't been a real progression. But then you see these kids coming through, and maybe that is just a progression of the last couple of seasons in the Lowland League.
What do you think on that side of things, Chris?
I agree to an extent, actually. I mean, there's a lot of talented players, but, you know, as you guys have said, it's maybe just a handful. You mentioned, obviously, Rocco Vaa, Ben Summers making his debut, I think, at the weekend. So there is a lot of talented players, and from that point of view, it's good to watch. You know, if it was any other teams, obviously, if it wasn't, you know, your Hearts, Rangers, Celtics, then maybe probably people would have less of an issue with it. But I do feel it has been an old firm issue to begin with, obviously, with Rangers and Celtic coming in initially, and then obviously Hearts the season after. So,
well, it's one to watch for sure. Of course, there's always that argument that lots of other European teams do it. That's what big advocates of this system always tell us. Thank you very much to Chris. You can hear more from Chris on the official Catch-Up podcast. Spending a lot of time looking at the lower leagues, or non-league football as well, I should say, outside the SPFL and all things Colt teams and B teams and conference leagues and all the rest of it. So I thought it was an interesting one for us to shine a light on for a bit. Thanks again to Chris. It's 01419511025, and we'll be back next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. It has been extremely lively on Twitter tonight with lots of your early suggestions for Player of the Year. We just thought we would have a bit of fun on there to see what else we could come up with. I've eventually spotted a name I hadn't seen before. Mark M says Clarkson, presumably Leighton Clarkson, Aberdeen. Very good, but again, yeah, probably is overshadowed by Duke.
Well, Duke, and for me, Miowski as well. I don't know why you were so dismissive of Miowski earlier on. Chatting earlier on in the season about Rangers maybe having a look at Miowski. They know he's got a belter in the League Cup semi-final.
You do love Miowski.
I tell you what, he's a good finisher.
You had him at a lot of clubs during the season, but no, I think Duke up there has been the better of the two.
Anyway, we've given you the definitive already. We've counted our votes. I don't know how the official process will look in a couple of weeks' time. One other big story that's been doing the rounds in the last couple of days, certainly, is the latest in what seems like a long line of managerial departures, and it is St Johnstone. Not many games to go, just six, and they've rolled the dice in a bid to stay in the division, I guess, ultimately. Let's bring in Jamie, who's a St Johnstone fan, on the line. Jamie, was that the right call for you, the right time?
Yeah, absolutely. If anything, we held on too long, which may come as a shock to some people. I think people, when they think Cam Davidson and St Johnstone, think cup double, you know, must have a job for life there. But things have been going wrong pretty much since that season. So we've two seasons past that now, and we've gone backwards quite a long way. So yeah, I think the club were pretty much left with no option.
Does that frustrate you, Jamie? Because you will, like me, have seen lots of people who maybe don't, well, certainly don't care as passionately about St Johnstone as you do, maybe don't keep quite as close an eye, certainly don't pay their hard-earned money, very quick to say, ah, this is a disgrace and it's a shambles and it's too quick. Has that sort of stuff annoyed you in the last couple of days?
Well, yeah, I mean, it just shows a lack of knowledge, really, of where what seems to have been up to the last little while. I mean, just to put it in context, I'm a season ticket holder. Since we won the Cup, since we were back in the stadiums the season after we won the Cup, we've played something like 34, 35 home matches. We have won, I think, 7, maybe 8 in that time. I've not seen Saints win a game since November. We're nearly 5 months since we won a home match. You know, we have been in appalling form, and you know, we were sitting in the top 6 just before Christmas. We've thrown it all away. We're in a downward spiral, and you know, we could very easily find ourselves in the bottom two again this season. So, yeah, I mean, it is frustrating that people don't really appreciate where we've gone wrong lately. But things have gone wrong, and hopefully we can turn it around, finish the season on something of a high, and then rebuild going into next season.
Is it a tough one to take? Because if you're talking about goodwill in the tank, yeah, and it's understandable. You're saying it ran out because it was, you know, 2 years ago. But at one point, there should have been a statue at one point, shouldn't there? So is that a sore one to take that it's ended like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the way anyone wanted it to finish. And I think the reason Davidson got so long is, as you say, the credit in the bank. You know, that was mostly spent last season when our defence of the Scottish Cup ended at the first hurdle against a pretty terrible League Two team. We then just escaped relegation by the skin of our teeth. I was happy enough to say, you know, let's let Davidson have another season, let him have a transfer window, let him turn things around today. I've seen that he can do good things as a manager. It just didn't work out. It is a shame it's ended this way. We would have loved his time seems to have come to an end with another top six finish and him going on to something bigger and better, you know, with a big club down south or something along those lines. It hasn't worked out that way. I'm, you know, maybe the statue outside McDermott Park will still come one day. It's just, you know, what he did for the club and winning that double is something that will never be forgotten. It's an achievement that's unlikely to be matched by a team of St Johnstone's stature anytime soon. But, you know, we will remember the good times, and it's just a shame that it's been this way in the end.
Although maybe a more pertinent question is not, you know, was it right to get rid of Callum Davidson? Maybe the important question right now is, do you have a better chance of staying in the division with Stephen McLean in interim charge?
I think it's hard to say whether McLean's going to totally change things, but I think a change had to be made. We were in a place where Davidson just wasn't getting the best out of the squad at his disposal, and where things had just gone totally stale, where, you know, he's coming out after games saying the players are just not following my instructions. I think when you get to that stage and you're just consistently losing games, you kind of have to make a clean break and try something different. It may or may not work out. I'd like to think that, you know, we maybe only need one more win and a draw to guarantee our safety this season. And I'd like to think that Stephen McLean will be able to bring us that. Whether he turns out to be a manager for the long term is a totally different question. You know, maybe he'll go and do what Barry Robson's done at Aberdeen since he took charge. He may do the complete opposite. I'm quite hopeful that we will stay up. So, you know, we've got a bit of a cushion, and I would expect us to manage to squeeze out at least one more win this season, and we'll see who ends up in the hot seat in the long term.
Yeah, Mark, how have you looked on it?
Probably the right decision, maybe, just with the balance of how things were going this season, and particularly at home. Now, I've got a feel for Callum Davidson. Probably go down as the greatest manager St John's have had because of the success that he brought to the club. But Jamie's right. After last season, narrowly avoiding relegation, there was a time this season, remember, probably about October, November, where they beat Rangers, beat Kelly at home, Celtic, ran Celtic very, very close. Everything looked like it was maybe on the right track, but the wheels have quickly came off at McDermott Park. So the problem for St John's fans was they couldn't see where the next one's coming from, and the board obviously looked at that and thought the exact same. Now, you made a good point there, Gordon. Do they think that they'd stand a better chance with Stephen McLean, I mean, or someone else. Do. They obviously do. It's up now to Stephen McLean to prove that, or if they make a quick appointment, the new manager to come in and do that. But I don't know if they will appoint someone really quick. There's names out there, you know, the usual suspects.
It's true what Jamie says. I mean, 32 points at the moment, 36 generally is probably enough to save you. I always say that 38 definitely saves you, you know, a point per game if you can keep on that ratio throughout the season. But yeah, possibly a win and a draw does it, Gordon. Did they have to just roll the dice at this point? Is that what this is?
Maybe. I believe that Callum would have got them over the line. I think they'd have stumbled. They were in a bad run of form, of course they were. It seems to be the trend now of Scottish football management. Clubs, well, only four have not changed their manager. Two are sitting at the bottom of the league.
But you could quit. Sorry, because we're running out of time. Yeah. But this has been a longer time coming than some of them, though, hasn't it? We're not talking five games,
listen,
or eight games.
I'm not against it. I hope it works for St Johnstone. We'll just have to see.
Very quickly before we go, because we are almost out of time. Jamie, give me a name, future manager.
Really tough one. I mean, my thought was we might go for Liam Craig from Finn. There's just a setup. He's not got it in the interim. So, you know, I would be happy with him. I love him as a player, but I think we're just going to have to wait and see. I don't have a favourite at the moment.
Right, we'll find out, Jamie. We'll stay in touch. Thank you very much. That was Jamie. You can find him on We Are Perth, St Johnstone's fan site, as well. And that's pretty much that. I enjoyed that
good,
lively debate about player of the year. Just a bit of fun. And we'll get back to it, I'm sure, before the end of the season. Make sure you join us at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Simon Donnelly and Jim Duffy are here. We'll start building up to another very big weekend in Scottish football. Thanks for all your calls and your tweets. So many of you got in touch tonight, and I promise you it's never ever taken for granted. Head over to that Twitter feed, give us a wee vote for that Radio Times moment of the year, and Callum Gallagher is up next. Enjoy the rest of your night.